Hello, and thank you for joining the podcast Emergency Minute. Your host is an emergency medicine physician who brings over 20 years of experience in healthcare. Dr. Parente will take you through some of the trending topics and challenges faced in the ER and all of healthcare. Join in the fight against misinformation. And don't forget to follow on social media at Dr. J. Parente. Now, here's your host, Dr. John Parente.
All right, welcome back, everyone, to this week's episode of Emergency Minutes. First of all, I wanted to thank everyone for tuning in and listening last week. Honestly, I had no idea I would get the traction that I did, so thank you so much. Much love to you. And to follow that up, I am now also on Apple Podcasts as well, so check that out. This week, we're going to talk about something that really nobody is talking about, which is the boarding and transfer crisis in healthcare. And this kind of brought me into a question of the actual purpose of my podcast, which I think is to connect the healthcare world to real world people. And that's going to be a big focus of mine. So this particular podcast does actually apply to people that are in healthcare, specialists that maybe don't know what we deal with every day in the emergency department. But this also applies to the general public out there as well, to know that this crisis is ongoing because it's not getting any coverage at all in the media. And it's kind of like the dirty little secret in medicine right now. So wanted to touch base on what exactly is happening. So what's happening right now is hospitals are completely full of patients. And a lot of these patients that are admitted are actually admitted to the emergency department. Now, this is less than ideal for a number of reasons. First and foremost, the emergency department is not designed to take care of patients who are admitted to the ER. It's designed to take care of patients that are coming in to be either admitted or treated and then sent home. So a lot of the things that we take for granted upstairs in the hospital, you know, patients having the ability to take showers, having a more comfortable bed, a more comfortable surrounding, having nurses rounding and giving their daily medications, these things are geared more towards the actual hospital itself as opposed to the emergency department. Now, there's been boarding forever and ever in emergency rooms, and sometimes when there's just not enough beds, patients do end up admitted in the emergency department. This is sort of inevitable, but it really hasn't happened that much, or at least not at the majority of hospitals across the country until post-COVID. So why is this happening? Well, it obviously with any problem, there's a number of reasons. The first and the biggest reason by far and away is the nursing shortage. So why is there a nursing shortage? This is a very difficult thing to talk about in a brief moment of time. I could do an entire podcast on the nursing crisis right now. But with COVID, I think a lot of things changed. And first and foremost, you know, our nurses obviously carried us through COVID. And were absolutely heroic. And just the things that I saw from nurses were truly inspiring during that time and till this day. The problem is it was hard. This was a hard thing to go through, the ups and downs of everything that we went through with COVID. And ultimately what happened is a lot of nurses actually left the field of medicine or went to maybe some less dynamic fields of medicine where there was less uncertainty, where people weren't being cut hours left and right or asked to stay or asked to have these Herculean efforts where they were having multiple patients that they had to manage at the same time because somebody had to take care of these patients when we were really full at capacity or often above capacity. So I think a lot of these nurses ended up in dermatology and aesthetic clinics and wellness clinics and things like that. And that really created this shortage. Now, there are other reasons for nursing shortages as well. For example, nurse practitioners, there's a lot of nurses out there that are trying to advance their career and further their education, rightfully so. And a lot of them are ended up becoming providers in the sense of a nurse practitioner. And that's a whole nother topic that we could do a whole nother podcast on. And maybe I will at some point if there's enough interest. So what's happening now is not simply that a 100-bed hospital has 100 patients plus 10 more admitted to the ER. What's happening now is a 100-bed hospital can really only care for about 70 patients. And we don't have enough nurses for the remaining 30 beds of the hospital. And that's, again, multifactorial, but that's the reality. So what happens is instead of these patients coming upstairs, they stay down in the ER. Well, then what happens then is that these patients end up stuck in the ER and they can't get the care that they need. They're still getting care, don't get me wrong, but it's not the care that's optimal. And that's the part where the healthcare system is truly showing how fragile it is, unfortunately. And so one of the things that's a product of this is a couple different things. Number one, the ERs are completely overwhelmed and people don't understand this. And it's not just because, oh, we're being overwhelmed with COVID and COVID this and COVID that. No, I hardly see any cases of COVID right now. It has nothing to do with it. What's happening right now is that we're seeing our normal, you know, everyday patients that come into the ER, and that's okay. But then all of a sudden, we also have boarding patients in the ER. Well, these patients are taking up beds, they're taking up resources, medications, pharmacists, nurses, et cetera, which leaves less resources for the patients who come to the ER that actually have emergencies that need to be treated. Now, another way that this has impacted healthcare that is not being discussed is the transfer crisis. So what happens now is if you go to a local ER, let's say a community hospital, and I'm trying not to use names here. I don't want to get people in trouble or mainly get myself in trouble for speaking out on certain hospitals. But let's pretend you go to a small community hospital and you have a problem that may be a little bit more complicated than something that they would handle at a community hospital. Well, historically, what we've done is just transfer you to a bigger hospital, a tertiary care center. There are bigger hospitals in every city, Cleveland Clinic, Akron General, University Hospitals, UTMC in Toledo. These are all bigger hospitals that are surrounding us. But what's happening right now is that we call those facilities, we try to transfer patients, and we're told that there's a 4, 5, 6 day wait. So people that have true medical problems are not getting to where they need to go, and it's creating a big problem. And what's crazy to me is a lot of people don't actually even know this is happening, including our own physicians. Now, people in the emergency room and people that are involved intimately with these transfers, they understand this because it's been going on for the last year and a half. But what's crazy to me is like these specialists don't know either. I had a conversation with a vascular surgeon who was just like, just ship the patient. I'll, you know, see him over there. Well, I can't. What do you mean you can't? I cannot ship the patient. There are no beds. Oh, yeah, yeah. We take patients all the time. No, you don't understand. We're not speaking the same language. I cannot ship this patient. In order for a transfer of a patient to occur, there has to be a doctor-to-doctor communication and a bed has to be available. And by bed, I mean bed that has a nurse that can take care of the patient as well when they get there. And I think that's the biggest issue. So if I call the Cleveland Clinic and they say it's going to be 5 days, well, what if this patient can't wait 5 days? What happens now? Well, there's only a couple of options. Either A, we try to figure out a way to care for them at the community hospital. Okay, less than ideal, but still possible. B, we look at other facilities that hopefully, maybe, have a bed somewhere that we could send this patient there. Or option C, what's even been happening now, which is crazy to think about, is we're actually discharging patients from the ER that have no business being discharged and telling them the best way to go get care at that particular facility is to drive to their ER and show up on their front door. Now, this is crazy. I mean, this is crazy stuff for us to even think about. I never dreamt in my career that I would be in this position where I was discharging patients from the ER who clearly need medical admission and medical attention. And instead of like taking care of that patient, because we can't, we're discharging them and telling them to drive to another hospital. So this has created a huge problem within healthcare and no one's talking about it. It's not very sexy to talk about how people are being boarded in the emergency department and, you know, has really nothing to do with COVID. So in addition to the nursing shortage, another reason why we're being overwhelmed with patients in the emergency department and having these situations where we're boarding and things like that is definitely kind of an oversaturation or overutilization of the healthcare system. You have to remember that when COVID hit, everything changed. The number of patients that came to the front door of the hospital dropped dramatically. I remember sitting in meetings saying from the Ohio Department of Health, you guys need to be prepared. You're going to see a 300 or 400% increase in the number of patients. And we were like building tents outside of the hospital and things like that. And we were really, truly prepared for this massive influx of patients. And instead, the exact opposite thing happened. The whole world shut down. Everybody's wearing a mask. Everyone's, you know, businesses are closing. People are staying inside their house. They're not coming to seek healthcare. They're not going for their colonoscopy, their mammogram, their screening exams. Everybody just sort of stayed inside for at least, you know, several months. And in some scenarios, every couple of years, honestly. So what happens is when people return back to the healthcare system, it created this influx of patients into the healthcare system, which has truly taxed the system. You know, we saw the same thing in the vacation industry where no one really traveled because it wasn't safe to travel or the people didn't feel comfortable to travel or there were travel restrictions and we had to get COVID tests and things shoved up our nose 10 times just to go to, you know, the Caribbean. So what happened is right after when, you know, kind of people kind of became tired of this or people were over with COVID or however you want to phrase it, all of a sudden travel industry just blew up, right? I mean, you couldn't get a hotel and hotels in the Caribbean and these vacation packages, everything. You had to book a year in advance because people were overutilizing their vacations and trying to get back into their normal lives. Same thing happened with healthcare. People are trying to get back into the healthcare system. So that certainly is another contributing factor to why this is happening with this boarding crisis. And I think the third and final reason why this is happening is I think everyone kind of got a taste of how hospitals and how contract management groups that run emergency departments could run super lean and sort of maximize their profits. This is not something where the physicians are making money. In fact, one thing that people don't realize is that almost every ER physician I know and across the country lost money during COVID, a tremendous amount, especially physician assistants, nurse practitioners, et cetera. But this is where basically some of these hospitals, and I'm not saying all of them, but some of these hospitals and a lot, if not all, contract management groups ended up saying, hey, look, we can staff this emergency room with less coverage. We can do this, and that's going to improve our bottom line. And we can say, okay, it's because the volume's low. And it was. The volume was low. The volume went dramatically down across the country. The problem is, when the volume came back up, it was still very volatile. It was still very up and down and not as predictable. And you know, once it gets taken away, it's awfully hard to roll that back, right? So like once they take that staffing away, like what has to happen in order for us to return to our normal staffing levels now that we've all kind of gotten a taste of this? So I think that's playing somewhat of a role across the country as well, is that a lot of these ERs, if they were staffed with, you know, 100 people before, are now being staffed with 90 or, you know, whatever the numbers are. So the point is that isn't the biggest contributing factor. This is still, in my opinion, from where I sit, a nursing-driven problem when you look at the nursing shortage. But I think there are other factors, like we talked about, with overutilization or hyperutilization of the healthcare system, coupled with, you know, just natural staffing shortages that sort of were created as a product of COVID. So what can you do to play your part in the solution for this crisis? Well, a couple different things. First of all, see your primary care physicians. And I'm at some point, I will do an entire podcast about how the primary care system in this country is broken. But for the time being, that's one thing you can do. Keep your appointments. Don't cancel them. Know that when you leave the emergency department and you are referred to a specialist, know that you need to call that specialist as soon as humanly possible to get seen. And I think the other thing is, if you have surgery at hospital A and you have a complication, for the love of God, go back to that hospital to be seen by their team if there is a problem. If you go to hospital A, have surgery, and then you present to hospital B with a problem, this is creating a massive, massive problem that you haven't even thought about. And unfortunately, this puts everybody in a bad spot. Most importantly, the patient, because the patient's not going to get the care that they need and deserve. It puts us in a position where we have to try to transfer that patient, because physicians, and rightfully so, aren't going to say, okay, well, you have a complication that's surgical. Yeah, sure. I'm going to go ahead and try to figure out what the other guy did. And then, it's like patchwork, putting it back together as far as what the treatment plan would be. No, you need to go back and see that person again and find out what that plan is going to be from them. So if you find yourself in the emergency department anytime soon and you're looking around the waiting room and you're stuck out there for what seems to be a very prolonged period of time, hopefully this podcast can shed a little bit of light on exactly why that is happening. So please just be kind to your triage nurses and the staff in the emergency department. I promise you, these guys are working their asses off right now. I hope you enjoyed this week's show, episode 2, the boarding and transfer crisis in the emergency department. And if you did, don't forget to show us some love on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or just about any social media platform at Dr. J. Parente. Join us next week for another episode of Emergency Minute. And everyone be safe out there. Peace, love, and happiness to everyone. Cheers.
Thanks for joining us this week on Emergency Minute. Join us next time for more hard-hitting discussions on some of today's issues in healthcare. Don't forget to leave us a review on Spotify or follow on social media at Dr. J. Parente.